continued prayers for the church here at Harlan. Continue to pray for our elders, Cy, Rick, Dick, Gary, and George, and just continue to lift them in prayer for the Lord and decisions that are being made for the congregation. And then pray for our deacons and as they take care of many of the things that are going on here. And just this opportunity we have to share with each one of you, we consider it a great honor to be able to present God's word to you once again. I read a story about a young boy who was on his way home from church one day. Actually, he was on his way to church one day. On his way there, a car stopped and asked the little boy where he was going. So he gave the name of the church that he was walking to, which surprised the stranger that he was talking to. The man in the car says, "Well, that's an awful long walk. Why do you go so far to attend that church?" And the little boy replied with this: "Because people there, they love you." And I hope that as we've been separated here over the last several weeks and even looking for weeks to come, that we would remember our fellow Christians, that we would pray for them, and that we would remember how much we love them and being able to be together with you all. We use that illustration of a young boy because the lesson for tonight, as we said, is entitled "The Boy King." We're going to be speaking about Josiah tonight. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles. You can read about him in 2 Kings. And we're going to mainly be focusing on 2 Kings tonight. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, turn to 2 Kings chapter 22 is where we'll begin. For those that know Josiah's claim to fame, it was that he was only 8 years old when he became king. His father had died, and they made him king. He was one of the greatest kings to ever rule Israel. And this young man started his reign even before he was a man. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this: "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left." Not sure if you know it or not, but Josiah was one of the most faithful kings that Israel ever had. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25 says this: "Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." Later on, in 2 Kings 22, the story is told of Hilkiah the high priest finding the book of the law, which had been neglected and hidden for years. This caused Josiah to tear his clothes and plead with the Lord to not punish Israel for their disobedience to God's word. Now, one of the things we will find out here, and as we move forward with the lesson, is that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. However, we find out immediately in verse 3, we've already read verses 1 and 2, that we find out in verse 3 that it was the 18th year of Josiah's reign that they realized, as they were repairing the temple, as they were repairing the house of the Lord, that they found out that they found the scrolls, found the law that was given. And so we oftentimes say that it was Josiah, this young boy. He was young, especially compared to some of us. He was 26 years old when this all happened. So it wasn't an 8-year-old boy. It was a 26-year-old young man. So I will say to this, there were 18 years there that Josiah did not follow the word of the Lord where it had been lost. But aside from that, we want to look at some of the positive traits that Josiah had, some of the qualities that made him one of the best kings that Israel ever had. We see that he was a trusting man, a very trusting man. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 through 7 says, "Now in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, 'Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only no accounting shall be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully.'" He was a trusting man, as we looked at. He placed people in charge of a job or a responsibility, the task at hand, whether they were carpenters or builders or stonemasons, or even just those that were buying the timber and the hewn stone to make the repairs. He put the right people into the right places. This takes trust. This takes faith in individuals. And then, not only did he put them in there into those responsibilities, but then he let them do their job. He understood the need as a leader not to micromanage people. Josiah was a very trusting man, and he would put those into positions that he trusted. And it says there in the text that they didn't even count the money that was given because they trusted fully those that they were dealing with. They just gave them the money and told them to do with it as they see fit. Next thing we want to look at this evening is that he was a wise individual. He was a wise individual. Now, we know some people that have been called wise guys. That's probably in a different context. But he was a wise individual. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, 'Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who gave the oversight of the house of the Lord.' Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king." One thing that makes him a wise individual is we see those that he put in charge and those that were in charge, such as Hilkiah the high priest. Josiah would listen to people. He didn't assume that he knew it all. He would sit back and listen to people. Not once did he get cross. Not once did he get angry with those that he was dealing with. But he put full trust and faith in them. Even when he was presented with the lost book of the law, he could have gotten very upset when someone pointed out to him that here's God's word, and obviously you haven't been following it. He did not get upset because someone pointed out a wrong, but he was thankful to those to help make changes in his life where they were needed. I can't help but think, boy, wouldn't that we all be better off if when we were pointed out wrongs in our life, that we would just accept it and move forward? This made Josiah a very wise individual. Because he was willing to listen to others, it also shared about Josiah and his repentant heart and the attitude in which he had. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 11 talks about his repentant heart. It says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, I'm not going to do that for you tonight. We're going to make sure we keep this PG. But his repentance was genuine. It was not forced. It was not nudged along and saying, you know, you should do this. You need to repent. You need to do this. He noticed in his heart when he had done wrong by reading the Word of God that he needed to straighten himself out. And he noticed right away that he was wrong, and he rent his clothes. It was simply because he had read the Word of God, had read the Word of the Lord, and decided to let it guide his actions in his life. Just a great example once again that if we would just listen to God's Word and let it convict us, how much better off we would be. This is truly a marvelous story about repentance, about spiritual leadership, and most of all, the mercy of God in even delaying judgment so that he had a time to come around and understand on his own. Yes, he started out as an 8-year-old king, and it took him 18 years to figure out what he needed to be doing to be pleasing to the Lord. But when he found it out, he did it. Josiah also led with integrity. He led with integrity. This is a thing that many times we don't see today, especially in political leaders and those things. And sometimes they travel down roads that to lead them to be less than, we'll just say their integrity doesn't rank very high on a scale that's worth counting. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 5, it says this about Josiah. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Josiah here was as good as they come. His heart was honest, his soul was sound, and his might and strength was in the Lord. He obeyed God's laws. There was no one else like him when it came to these areas of his life. He loved God more than he loved the praise of men. And because of that, he was able to lead with integrity. The greatest life of integrity an individual can live is a life that has been lived in service for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only do we see that he led with integrity, but his heart was tender. This is one that we don't think of many times when it comes to a king. We think of kings being bold and brash and rugged. But it says that his heart was tender. 2 Kings 22:19, it says, and because your heart was tender. These were some of the reasons the Lord cared for him so much. You know, we're told in Scripture that a tender heart, that tender-hearted individuals are the ones that quickly lead to forgiving more quickly than others. As we're told to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This is a part of his integrity. This is a part of him being a wise individual, that he was tender-hearted. And especially those of us men, we could probably all stand to learn to be a little more tender-hearted, especially when dealing with people. We also then see that he humbled himself before the Lord. 2 Kings 22 and verse 19, same verse we had just looked at earlier, later on in that verse says, because you had humbled yourself before the Lord. This is why the Lord cared for him. Josiah was one of the few kings in Israel's history that humbled himself before the Lord. The art of humility is one that many people in powerful positions have a difficult time dealing with. He was able to remember who placed him in this position and who it was that permitted him to be used as a servant of the Lord. You know, it's a hard task to remember that we are here to serve our fellow man. And most importantly, whatever position we're given is not just to serve our fellow man, but we ultimately are serving the Lord in that opportunity with that position. he was willing to humble himself before the Lord. Humbling yourself before the Lord is one of those things that we're far better off to do that of our own free will, because we are told that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will be humbled one day, and we should do what we need to do to make sure that it's on our terms rather than just on the Lord's terms, that we come to him where we can still live a life of faithfulness and obedience to him. But here's some of the things, is the last few things that we're going to look at here of Josiah that we want to talk about this evening, is found in 2 Kings 23:24, and it said he would not tolerate evil. We see, moreover, Josiah removed the mediums, the spiritists, and the teraphim. Teraphim, that's not a word that we find a whole lot in the Bible or necessarily know what it is. It is another description for household idols or mini idols, because you'll see that it says, and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem. But it's talking about household idols, not something that they would have in a temple, but these were like your own personal little idols that they may have. And I think the thing that I think about this most was, do you remember the story of Rachel and Jacob in Genesis 31, and they were getting ready to leave, and Laban comes in and finds that his teraphims, or his little idols, his household idols, have been stolen, and Rachel had taken and hidden them. You know, if your God is so small that you could hide them in your pocket or hide them among the luggage, then I think you're serving the wrong God. We need to serve a God that's so big that can handle anything and is in charge of everything. And that's the God that we read about in the Bible. Anyway, as we continue on with that passage, it says that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. He wouldn't tolerate evil. They read the Bible that they had at that day, the book of the law. They read the Bible, and if it said to not to trust mediums, that this is witchcraft, and the spiritists, then they didn't do that. The teraphims, the household idols, not putting their faith in other gods, and the abominations, the wickedness, the lifestyle that was lived by those around them, they saw that God's word said to put those things away from them, and that is exactly what Josiah did. We as Christians can make our walk with the Lord much simpler if we would learn to not tolerate evil. The more we get ourselves accustomed to sin, the more we will tolerate it. We must flee from sin. We must turn from it. We can never get to the point where we accept it. It'll definitely be our downfall as an individual or as a nation. And then we see that he was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to the Lord. 2 Kings 23:21 says this, then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. What he was telling them is to remember that sacrifice that was given back in Egypt, and they celebrated the Passover lamb and the blood that was shed, and the freedom that came from that. He was faithful to the Lord. The Lord wants to be remembered. The Lord wants for us to remember him. They had set up their festivals in the days of the Jews, and they would use those to remind themselves of how great God is. But I suggest this evening that we shouldn't just remember him three times a year, but that each and every day we need to live our life as best we can to be faithful to the Lord, just as Josiah was. Josiah read the book of the law publicly, and he made a covenant with the Lord, along with his people, to obey the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul. We had read earlier in 2 Kings 23:25 a similar comment about Josiah that we also find here in 2 Kings 23:3. It says, "The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant." Isn't it great when someone would get up, especially as we see here, their political leader, and says, "You know what? We're going to do what the Bible says." Wouldn't that just be absolutely great that if the mayor in your town says, has a press conference tomorrow and says, "We've been reading the Bible and we want you to just do what it says." Or perhaps maybe it's the governor of our state that we live in that says, "You know, we've been reading in the Bible and we're just going to do what the Bible says." Or maybe the president of this country says, "You know, we're reading the Bible. We're just going to try to do what God's word says." Wouldn't that be an exciting thing? Wouldn't that just be a great thing? And then for all the people to enter into that covenant with them. Oh my goodness, how America would change. How America would change. How the church would change if we would all just step up and be obedient and live out the covenant that we have made with our Lord and Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ said something very similar to those words that were uttered by Josiah. Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, and he said to them, this is Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." It is true today as it was in the day that Jesus said it, that this is definitely the greatest command given, that we would love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and even some other gospel accounts say, and with all of our strength. The boy king is a great story, but please remember this. Just as the children around us all grow up and they do not stay children forever, for it was not until this boy grew up, and we like to talk about him being the childhood king, being the 8-year-old boy king, although we don't find very much information about him when he's younger. It wasn't until his 18th year. Somewhere along the line, we know that he was trained with the proper guidance and attitude that he was able to be effective in the kingdom of his Lord. You know, the same goes for us today. That if you plan on being fruitful in the kingdom of Christ, there is no better time to get ready for that than for right now. Get ready now. You may be 8 years old. You can start living your life in such a way that you can be a glory to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You may be 26 years old, just as Josiah was here when they found the book of the law, and you make the decision that I'm going to live for Jesus. You may be 108 years old. And if the Lord has granted you that time tonight, then start living for Jesus. And if hopefully you've already been living for him, but continue to live for him. Live your life for Jesus so that you can be an effective servant in his kingdom. Not just the kingdom of Israel, but in the church, where you can be faithful for him for the rest of your days. Hopefully, as we looked at some of these character traits found on King Josiah, that as we go this week, that we'll try to be people of integrity, that we'll try to be wise individuals, that we'll try to be faithful to the Lord, that we'll not tolerate evil, but we'll take a stand for the cause of Christ and be everything that we can possibly be for him. Will you close out with me in a word of prayer this evening? Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity we have to gather here tonight. We just pray that you just continue to be with our country, be with the decisions that are made, and especially with the COVID-19 pandemic right now. We just pray, Lord, that for those that are struggling with that, we pray for the healing. We just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to be with the doctors and the physicians that are working on a cure for this as well. And we just pray, Lord, that the pain and suffering could be minimal and that healing could begin. But even if it's not your will, Lord, that you're going to let this thing run its course, then may we, the church, stand tall, stand strong for you. May we be found faithful no matter what obstacles are put in our way. We do ask that we could be like Josiah and see those good things in his life, and that we could be found faithful and want to serve you each and every day. We thank you, we love you, and we thank you for loving us enough to send your son to die for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and have a good evening.